Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two and
welcome to Book Nation. I'm Nell Coakley.
And I'm Chris Stevens.
Wow. In our world, it's Friday. What day is it in your world?
Well, I was going to say, what day is it in your world? It is. It's a beautiful, sunny, gorgeous day. We're leading into another heat wave this weekend, which is good because it'll be too hot to do anything but sit around and read.
That is what I did during the last heat wave. I shut myself away in our room with the air conditioning on, and I read, and I read, and I read.
Nice.
It was so wonderful until I heard, Mom, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. What are you making?
Yeah, what are you making? I know.
Because I don't know if you've noticed, it's 1,000 degrees in this house.
So we have a guest coming in later today.
Maggie Van Galen.
And she is from Georgetown?
She is. And she has written 3 children's books, The Adventures of Kino and Ernest, which mm-hmm. are a monkey.
And an elephant.
And an elephant. People love elephants. Who doesn't love monkeys and elephants?
You know, it really is tough to find. They are 2 of my favorites, actually. But I'm partial to elephants. But monkeys are so freaking cute. I want to hold a monkey someday. That's like one of the things on my bucket list. I just want to hold one. I just think they're so cute. I held a raccoon once. That was pretty cool.
Wow. The things I'm learning about Chris in the show.
I don't know why that came out, but it just did. So, but before we get to Maggie, before we chat with her, we have
book news.
Book news.
We need a theme. Like, I think our producer, Tim, needs to come up with, like, when we say book news, like, we press a button and it goes, da-da-da-da, book news.
We have a trumpet blaring. Yeah. I like that idea.
Right. Okay, we got to work like that on, Tim. Chris has lately become like obsessed with theming her book news to like.
Well, we have a children's author coming in, and this just happened. I just happened to see this interview, so
she
it just it
I was, hate her.
It just sort of coincided.
Mine is not.
Well, then what's yours?
Okay, so I love that. I love this. I saw this thing online, and it said that Netflix is gone insane.
Okay.
So they've gone insane, basically. Buying up books.
Really?
Book rights so that they can develop all these projects, these novels, short stories, graphic novels, all this stuff. And they're just turning them into like series. And I didn't know they were doing this because and it's funny because one of my favorite things that they put out this last year was The Umbrella Academy.
I have not watched that yet. Is it good?
It is so much fun.
Okay.
It's so much fun. It's based on a bunch of graphic novels by the guy who is, I think it's Gerard Ray, who is the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Really?
I love it. And I love the series. And I actually went and then I went and bought the graphic novels because I was like, now I gotta like,
sure.
I'm into it. So they're doing all these crazy things. And basically the people who are doing it, the people who are behind it, the producers and the people who are on Netflix's executives, they're basically like, we love books. That's their whole answer to the whole thing. They're like, we love books.
I think that's a great idea.
People love books. And
they're not doing reboots. At least they're, you know, doing sort of original.
This is what the guy who's the VP of original series, this is what he said. He said, there's just no other substitute for the amount of work and creativity that goes into a book.
I love him.
Darn right.
He's darn right.
So they've got they've got stuff like that they've already done. So Orange is the New Black they've done.
Yes,
13 Reasons Why.
I just heard an interview with Piper, the woman that wrote
Piper Orange Kerman.
Piper Kerman.
They've done.
Who's from Swampscott, by the way?
A Series of Unfortunate Events. So they have all this stuff in production. So I'm super like, oh my god, that's going to be cool. Like they've got Harlan Coben. They're like developing like 14 of his books. And projects. And
I know who that is because he, when Robert Parker passed away, they had a couple of people that sort of tried out. I'd say that now they a number of different people sort of carried on the Spencer name. They wrote the Spencer books after Parker had died. They have since settled on Ace Atkins, and he writes them all. Harlan Coben, though, was one of them.
Did he write one?
Yeah, he wrote a couple of them.
He's very good.
Yeah, he wrote at least one or two of them.
Well, they're talking about the fact that they have so many things, like, they want to try, like, they have animated stuff. They just want to try things. Like, they want to do some Roald Dahl books.
I think that's great.
They just greenlit a series, the Shadow and Bone series, which I've never actually heard of.
Mm-mm.
But they just greenlit this, and they say that they're really excited because the guy who's the Sean Levy, who's the executive producer of Stranger Things, which Chris just got into.
I love that show.
Yeah. They're talking about how they're going to remake this, and they're going to, like, try to do it. And one of the things that I had just seen, which came up on Netflix, was the Witcher series, which is by this Polish novelist. Okay, I am not even going to attempt to say this man's name. It's like Andrzej Sapkowski. And it's about, like, you know, demons come into this world, this already fantasy world, and they take it over. And this guy, the Witcher, he basically, like, has to fight this evil. And these books, now I've seen these books because the covers are really intriguing. And I've seen them, like, they're like red with red stripe with the name of the book. And then on top, the really cool thing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it did. It caught my attention enough to, like, go pick up the book.
There you go.
So I went and I picked up the first book. And they're all available everywhere. So it's not like you can, you know, the series is one of those things that's like, oh, it's gone, it's passed. You can pick up the book.
You can pick up the book.
And you can take a look at it. But I thought, good for you, Netflix. Good for you.
Awesome.
Because, you know, I think one of the neatest things is, if it's something I've never read, like the Witcher series I've never read, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'll check it out.
Or Game of Thrones that we've talked about a million times, or something else. I think it's neat, like, that they will spark your imagination enough to be like, hey, we've made this, but why don't you go read it first?
Go read it.
Or it's kind of neat.
Go check out the
book. I love that. I love that quote by that guy. I'm going to read it again. There's just no other substitute for the amount of work and creativity that goes into a book.
That's right.
Matt Thunnell.
Love
Thank you.
You,
Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. We're going to, like, hashtag Matt Thunnell. Now Chris has actual real book news.
No, my book news is silly, is fun. It's yours is kind of cool. And there is actually a sort of link. Who was the lead singer was one of the, who was behind one of those books you read. Was it My Chemical, whatever?
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. So Gerard, the lead singer from that, because my book is also based on a musician. So I saw, I just happened to see an interview the other day. I watched the Today Show when I get up in the morning. I'm getting ready for work. I watched the local news, and then I watched the Today Show just so I can pretend I know.
What time do you get up?
Just so I can pretend I know what's going on in the world. 6:30.
Oh my God.
Well, that's when my husband gets up, and so I'm sort of awake, so I flip on the TV. We have a TV in our room.
I'm still sleeping.
And so just so I know what's going on. So anyway, Al Roker had his bucket list interview the other day. He had Sir Paul McCartney on.
Wow.
Yes. And I don't know. He's just a nicer guy in the world. So anyway, Sir Paul McCartney has written a children's book.
That's awesome.
It's called Hey Grand Dude. So his
Grand Dude?
His grandchildren call him Grand Dude.
Love it. That's awesome.
Isn't it awesome? So it'll be out in September. It is a picture book, but it's...
How is it that these celebrities, they just write any old darn thing?
Well, you know, I go on about that. I have a thought about that. So the book is about an intrepid explorer grandfather and his four grandkids with his magical, colorful, I can't talk today.
Colorful?
Friday. Colorful. Postcards. Grand Dude whisks his grandchildren off to incredible adventures. Join them as they ride flying fish, dodge stampedes, and escape avalanches.
That even sounds so much fun, doesn't it?
I know, it does. And this artist, Catherine Durst, does the illustrations. The illustrations are really sweet. It's really
Grand
cute.
Grand Dude Paul.
So, and it's funny, he said, this is a quote from him, I wanted to write it for grandparents everywhere and the kids, so it gives you something to read to the grandkids at bedtime.
Because there's not enough stuff out there.
I know. Well, Paul McCartney said he's always been into reading to his kids. And seriously, he's one of the most prolific songwriters out there. So
True. Obviously
we know he can write, and he can write stories because some of his music are sort of storytelling.
Storytelling, yep.
But I do. I always think it's funny when celebrities have a kid and suddenly it's like, I'm going to write a children's book. Now I need to shoot a children's movie because I have a kid. because
yeah, just because you have everything. A kid, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, I know.
The rest of us would appreciate if you didn't do that.
So at least he waited till he had grandchildren.
Only parent in the world.
I know.
They're the only person who's ever had a child.
I always just think it's really
That's
funny
so cool.
That.
But I do. Grand
but
dude.
For some reason, I love this.
I love the fact that he's
I love the fact that
grand
he's,
dude.
Yeah.
Grand dude.
I know. And it was funny because, I mean, he's Paul McCartney and you think about it. And Al Roker had asked him, said, you know, do your grandchildren have any idea, you know, like who you are?
Yes,
and
he's
he was
dude.
Just like, no. He said when they were very young.
They just want money.
Yeah. He said, well, when they were very young, they had no concept whatsoever. He said now, he said they're kind of used to, he's like they are used to the idea that everybody wants to have their picture taken with me. He's like, but they don't really get it. He's like, you know, it's grandpa. Who, you know, what?
He's grand dude. He's not grandpa. He is grand dude.
He's grand dude. So
I think
you
that's
know,
great.
When they're older, I'm sure
they don't give a crap. They're just like, it's just grand dude.
The impact.
Grand dude is so embarrassing.
Isn't it great?
I love that.
Could you imagine having Paul McCartney
as a grandfather? Can I say something about
though?
Al Roker?
Yes.
Okay. Al Roker wrote a series of mysteries.
He did?
He wrote three mysteries about this guy. Billy somebody, I can't remember his name, but there were three mysteries and he was a celebrity chef.
Oh my God.
Not Al Roker.
The guy
in the book. And he like has to solve these weird mysteries that he like suddenly gets himself into and is like, I have to solve them. Otherwise bad things are going to happen.
Oh my God. I don't think I knew that.
They were crazy. And I wish Al had gone on with it, but he only had like a 3-book deal and then he didn't do anything else with it. And they were so much like, fun.
Now I have to look for them. Did he write them under Al Roker?
Yeah.
Under that name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So pick them up. Like they're fun. I'm like, Al Roker can write? What does everybody think they can write?
I know.
Everybody, all the celebrities. Everybody.
I'm going to write a book.
I'm going to write a book.
Fine. Go write a book.
So Chris,
that I'm bitter.
What are you reading? What are you doing?
Well, now I want to read Grand Dude. So I'm gonna actually order that so I'll get it and I'll read it and then I'll send it to my grandnieces so they can have it.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. I am reading Nightingale by Kristen
Hannah.
Yes. Have you read it?
No, but I know of her. I've read some of her other things.
I don't think I've read anything else by her. Yeah, no, it's a friend of mine actually, I know it's all the rage right now. A friend of mine actually read it more than a year ago and raved about it and insisted I read it. She actually gave me a copy of it.
Actually, I will tell you what I just got, which I just ordered and it came in and it was inspired by you.
By me?
Yes.
What?
Because you were talking to me about Stephen King short stories and you were talking to me about App Pupil and you were talking to me about Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Body.
And you were talking about all the stuff.
The ghost story.
Okay. So I was online and I wandered across this rabbit hole, of course, of stuff. And I was reading and all of a sudden I was like, wait, isn't this the thing that Chris was talking about? This is like one of the short stories she was like rambling about, right? Yeah. So I'm looking, I'm reading, and apparently they've collected these three and another one into a thing, right?
Yeah, four seasons.
Four seasons.
Four
yes.
seasons are... Changing seasons, or I can't remember what it is.
Something with seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, this is what she's talking about. So I bought it.
Oh, I'm so glad. The fourth one I can never, which is horrible that I can never remember the name of it.
It just arrived. So I was like,
but it is the best ghost story.
Yeah.
It's a ghost story, and it is the best.
Yes.
I haven't read it in a long time.
So I was excited.
I'm going to borrow it from you when you're done. I haven't read it in a long time.
I just thought to myself, like, because sometimes you're reading a lot of books, like we read a lot,
mm-hmm.
and you were talking about last time I think you were talking about that sometimes you just want to read magazines, and sometimes you want to take a break, like mm-hmm. you just can't find something that you're interested in,
yeah.
like, you know, you're just not sure what you want to read. And I always say, pick up a short story, find a novella,
yeah.
find something really
I've done
short
that too.
To read that will sort of like spark your attention. So when I saw this, I was like, oh, I'm so inspired by Chris. So
says the first person ever.
So I'm very excited to like go and get that. But in the meantime,
Maggie Van Galen is in the house.
Woo!
So let us
monkeys.
Go. Let us get
Ernest.
Monkeys.
Kino. Kino.
So
sorry, Maggie.
You guys sit back and take five, and we will be
right back with Maggie.
With Maggie.
Hey, welcome back to Book Nation. I'm Nell Coakley.
I'm Chris Stevens.
And we are here with Maggie Van Galen. Is that how you say it, Maggie Van Galen?
That's correct, yep.
And you're from Georgetown?
I am.
And she has three fun children's books out, The Adventures of Kino. Why do I keep saying Kino? What is wrong with me? Kino and Ernest. This is great.
They're adorable.
They're adorable.
Thank you very much.
I was reading them the other night.
Aw.
And I don't have kids. I was just reading them.
She is just reading them. So tell us about Ernest and Kino and how you decided to write this.
Well, so when I was a little girl, my dad used to tell me stories, bedtime stories. He was a fantastic storyteller, raconteur, and he used to transport me wherever I went. And awesome. He used to tell me stories about Kino and Ernest.
He just made them up? I love it!
He made them up. Unfortunately, he never wrote any of them down before he passed away, and he died probably 25 years ago.
Okay.
And when my oldest son, who's now 16, was born, I started making up my own adventures around Kino and Ernest. So,
how cute is this?
And I know for a fact that in my dad's stories, there was no morals. It was all action and adventure. So,
so you had to clean them up a little bit.
Being a mother, I had to add some life lessons in there. So The Banana Tree is the first book that I did.
Is that the one you have?
That's yep.
the
have.
One you have. Okay.
So the yellow wants bananas on the other side of the river.
Right. Crosses the river. Mm-hmm. Gets himself into
parents.
Trouble. Yes. Ernest has to rescue him, which happens consistently. There's a general theme.
Yeah,
that
I noticed
goes on.
That. That's what I said. There's a sentence that she, or there's a paragraph. Well, they open. They seem to open all the same. Once upon a time in a deep jungle lived two best friends that were always there for each other. And so she always makes that point that Ernest will always be there.
Yes.
For Kino.
Yes. And so...
And it's good, because Kino needs him.
He does. He's a mischievous little fellow.
He is a mischievous little fellow.
And we all know people like that.
Yeah.
We all know people. We all have friends, Maggie, don't we? We all know people who are always in trouble, and they're always calling you. And you have to be there as a friend.
Exactly.
For them, for whatever,
exactly.
Whatever they're doing.
So the life lessons in this story sort of came from my own children's life.
Okay.
So what things that they were experiencing.
Somebody wanted bananas and kind of...
Well, you know, young people trying to cross the road without, you know,
without
asking,
permission.
Without permission. So they do love bananas, I will say, my children. But
you heard it here first.
There's no banana trees in Georgetown that I know of. So that's kind of how it all started. And I really wrote the first one, The Banana Tree, to sort of leave a legacy for my kids. And it sort of took off from there, if you will. So thanks to the communities of Georgetown, and I'm originally from Michigan.
Okay.
So
yes.
my sort of community there supported me and pushed me to do more. So I went with the Diamond Line.
They always have a picture. I'm guessing it was you and your dad.
Yes. And apparently I pedaled backwards that whole time because it's a picture of my dad and I on a tandem bike.
Yes.
Up at
I love the clothes.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't actually notice that.
Good 70s picture.
Yeah, I was going to ask. It totally is.
Wearing his leisure suit.
That's awesome. Look, these are adorable.
I know.
I'm so like not with it when I look through these things. I'm like, I didn't even notice that. So your dad is like was he a huge inspiration? Did mom tell you stories, or is it just that dad got roped into that sort of part of the evening?
Well, my mom would read stories to me. So she was the only one that could read in the car.
I had that gift. I could do that. My mother could not do that, but I could.
Yeah.
Most people get a headache from doing that.
Yeah. So she would always read to me, which maybe gave me my gift of reading.
I think it does.
Yeah. And she was an English major. And but my dad was just an amazing storyteller. So I think he gave me the gift of gab, if you will. And I always say I'm a storyteller before I am a writer or an author, I guess. The whole family is really involved.
Nice.
And my mom today is my biggest fan. So,
nice. Who does your illustrations? They're beautiful. The colors are gorgeous.
Thank you. So Joanna Lundin Gallant is the illustrator. Mm-hmm. And the way the whole book got published was back when my son Luke, my oldest one, was in preschool, they have the, you know, bring your parent in to talk about what they do day.
Yep.
And he said, Mom, you got to come in because you're the best storyteller there is. And of course, like, my heart melted.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So amongst all the doctors and firefighters and nurses and you know, teachers and
anybody can do that.
Everybody else that was there telling what they did. I went in and I told my story. It was before I even had it written down or anything. And his teacher really said, you know, this is great. This is a story that we could do lesson plans around. We could use as a teaching tool. You should really get this published. And I said,
oh, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah. But I said, yeah, I had another little one in diapers at the time, and there was no light at the end of my tunnel.
That happens.
Yes. So, but I would go in every year and tell the stories to his classrooms. And when my youngest one, Dylan, was in kindergarten, I went in and did the same thing. And his teacher, Amanda Harding, at Pearly Preschool in Georgetown, said, you know, this is great. You, again, should get it published.
Hey, Maggie, when are you going to do this?
Yeah, exactly. And she said, and I said, well, you know, now that I actually have some time, it's an interesting idea. And she said, well, if you ever do, my best friend is an artist.
Ah.
And she's never published a book before, but I'm sure she would be interested in talking to you. So she introduced me to Joanna. And Joanna was like a little angel on my shoulders. Like, I can do stick figures. That's the extent of my drawing. And Joanna was like, she just got what was in my head. So
that's
for,
cool.
You know, I don't know, 40 years, I had Kino and Ernest swimming around in my head. And
that's what they look like?
And that's what they look like.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like Tom. Tom's sort of the go-between.
Right. So Toucan Tom is my character.
Okay.
He was not.
I like him.
He was not in.
Well, you need somebody.
He's not in Dad's original.
He's not. But I needed a character that could sort of be anywhere at any time.
Yes.
And could get there easily. So Tom is Toucan Tom is my is my guy.
I like Toucan. I like the way he's just very casual.
Yeah.
You know, like he knows racing down the river in a raft. It's, you know, about to get into big trouble. And Tom's just like, hey, Kino, so what's going on?
Yeah.
Nice raft. Oh,
he's like, nice raft.
Did you build that yourself?
Help me. Tom's very level-headed. He's very low-key.
I feel like we have those people in the office.
Yeah,
I'm on a raft heading down a dangerous river. And we have those people here. Like,
things about to eat
what's
me.
What's going on?
So were all three of these based on stories that your dad told, or just the characters?
Just the characters. Okay. So I remember bits and pieces of my dad's stories. Like, I do remember something about a river. Okay. I don't remember exactly what happened. I'm sure Kino was in trouble.
He probably, like, sailed over the waterfall and landed with a splash. And
right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sure it was something.
It was a dad adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no seatbelts. Yeah.
I remember one adventure that he used to tell about something, because he was a pilot in World War II.
Okay.
And there was something about Kino finding an old plane that had crashed in the jungle.
Fabulous.
And I was
he hijacked the plane, right?
Well, it had crashed. It was like an old war plane that had crashed in the jungle, and Kino found it. So
I like that.
I do too, but I'm not a pilot or an expert on planes, so I left that out.
No, but what was interesting was the diamond mine. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Just because I'm like, I don't know, I wouldn't have thought there being a diamond mine nearby, and the fact that he was going to get a present for his mom for... I thought that was sweet. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Was that a hint?
Well, the hint was that moms like presents made by their kids best.
There you go. Yes,
So what did your kids think? Like, were they aware? I mean, obviously they're aware now, but I mean, did you get like support from the family? Were they like, okay?
No, my kids, I think, were really excited and really proud of me. They love to see the story sort of come to life, and I involve them in the story. Like before I go to publication, I always make sure that they read it first and give me any feedback.
Her beta testers are her kids.
I like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's your intended audience. You should. It's like when people say, "Oh, you know, I'm doing about this," and we always ask, "Well, did you test it out in front of them?" No, not at all. Well, that's not a recipe for disaster or anything at all.
No, not at all. No. So, and then I always have them look at the illustrations. So, you know, it's fun to see them be like, oh, that's exactly what I thought Ernest would look like. Or why does Kino have lipstick on? That was my youngest one's because his lips were very red in one of the first illustrations. So, and then my other beta testers, I use the, there's a reading specialist, an elementary reading specialist that I ask her to read the manuscript.
Very cool.
And then I go, I have a local librarian that I use, children's librarian.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah, so that's how I sort of look at it. But they're very proud of me. I think now that they're teenagers, it's sort of like old hat. Like, oh, my mom's an author.
Just a writer.
But I think they like it. I think they like the fact that, you know, it's something different than the average person does.
It is cool. So. It is cool. So I was just thinking, you have, so it's just the three right now.
It is just the three, yes.
Right now, though.
Right now.
What are you working on?
I am working on another book. It's not a Kino and Ernest series.
Okay.
The morals of the story are getting a little old for Kino and Ernest, shall we say, because I have a 16 and a 14-year-old. So I'm working on, I'm not even sure I want to announce what it is, but it probably will be forever. So I've decided to try to write a chapter book.
Oh, great.
My brain doesn't work in chapters. It works in short-term, beginning, end. I write for the local newspaper.
I was just going to say she'd be a good newspaper reporter.
I do. I write for the
She writes for the Record.
I do.
She does. She writes for us.
I do.
We should have said that.
Sorry. Yes, I'm a
Georgetown Record. You can read Maggie's work.
Yes, exactly. So I write in short spurts, and I'm not a very disciplined writer, which is why I started writing for the Record.
I know,
because
I love that you just said that.
It forces you, right, to
it does.
Write in a certain pattern. And I've written journalistically. And
quickly.
And yes. So I'm not, it's taking me forever, and it's like a whole new learning experience trying to write a chapter book. But I have some really good friends in a writer's group that I belong to.
I think that's huge.
It is great. Absolutely huge. Yeah. And they're phenomenal writers and different genres of writing. So they're helping me to sort of form my book into something. So
great.
It's like the,
that's
it's
exciting.
Like an evolution. So like this is the next step of your children's book career.
Yes.
That's really cool.
I feel like I'm going back to school, though, learning because, you know.
It's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
So in 10 years, when it's finally done, I'll come back and tell you about it.
So you had young kids and you were making up stories. Were you reading stories to them? What were some of the favorite children's authors did you have that you liked or that your kids liked?
Yeah. So Chris Van Dusen is one of my favorite authors, and he is based up in Maine. He wrote, and he's an illustrator as well.
Nice.
So if you can ever get him on your show, that would be awesome. But he did like If a Car Could Fly, or If I Built My Own Car, Learning to Ski with Mr. McGee. They're great. The illustrations are phenomenal. And his writing is just funny.
Awesome.
Jan Brett, of course, is an awesome author and beautiful illustrator with The Mitten. And we read Thomas the Tank Engine. We read...
Oh, we read those.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, you know, as they got older, their stories got older. I have one child that, like, used to be absorbed with reading and one that loved to be read, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a true believer that however they get the reading in...
It doesn't matter. Reading, as long as they're reading.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
I completely agree.
I've always had one niece who is... super into reading. She'll read anything. And so we were always giving her more and more advanced books.
Yep.
And then there was my poor goddaughter, who's also my youngest niece, and she would be like reading Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen books.
Yep.
And her sister would make so much fun, and I would be like, it doesn't matter, as long as she's reading.
As long as she's reading.
Right.
She likes what she's reading, and she's going to keep reading, so just stop.
But, yep. Yep.
You know, yeah, it's hard to figure out those age limits sometimes.
Yeah. But I think, like I always say to any parent, like however they read, you know, sometimes you read, you know, Sports Illustrated Kids, or you read National Geographic Kids magazines, or even if they're reading on their phones or their tablets or whatever. I specifically do not put my books into an ebook because I don't think I prefer that the age group that I'm targeting, which is sort of pre-K through mid-elementary, actually pick up a physical book and read it.
I totally agree. Yeah.
And for the younger kids where grandparents and parents and guardians are reading mm-hmm. to them, then... Yeah.
It's hard with younger kids, like, because part of the experience, I think, of reading to your children is that snuggle factor of mm-hmm. holding the book together, getting them close to you, or when they're in bed reading,
turning the pages,
the whole ritual of it so that they learn to appreciate it and love it. It's hard to do that with a tablet.
Yeah.
I'm like, or here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, it just went out.
Well, I think, too, I think...
Didn't you charge this?
No story.
Well, I think, too, there's different ways that kids learn how to read. Like, my oldest son could tell you the story word for word just by what picture was on the page next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So he could... He learned to read sort of by... He would listen to the story with the picture and memorize sort of the story, and they
sure.
learn how to read that way. They learn intonation. They learn emotion. It's like if you send somebody a text when you're upset with them, it's hard to
convey that.
Convey the emotion. Or you read a text or
yes.
an email. There's no...
And sometimes you convey things you don't mean to convey.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
awesome.
Yeah, so it's been great fun. And I've just started, actually in December, I started a new project because I sort of... like I just said, done with the Kino and Ernest mm-hmm. Plan. So I started a new project called The Joy of Reading,
nice.
Which I was sitting in my office thinking, how can I help other kids? I've been working with a homeless shelter in Peabody called the Citizens Inn.
Okay, yep, I know them.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, they're great.
And I was talking with the clinical director, and she had said that she just got a grant for a trauma library. So a trauma library
Ooh,
is a library filled
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, it's a library filled with books that will help kids with whatever situations
That's
they're dealing
great.
With. So the Berenstain Bears, for example, has a huge series
oh my
of
gosh.
Books,
yeah,
right?
They have something for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So like that. So that the grant would fill the library with books. And she took the Kino and Ernest series for the library. But I said, wouldn't it be awesome if the kids that are in your home... Wouldn't it be awesome if they could take a book and actually take it home with them? Like,
mm-hmm.
and it's theirs. It's
yeah.
something.
Read Across America did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a number of organizations. Dolly
That's
Parton
awesome.
Has an organization.
Yeah.
Malcolm Mitchell with the Read to a Child.
Yeah. I love that. I'd
or
love,
Share the Magic. Sorry.
I love that whole idea.
Yeah. So I started this project and with her sort of guidance as to how that would work. And the idea is basically to match corporations
okay.
and individuals with charities that focus on children in need.
Nice.
So Citizens Inn is working with us. We've donated about 150 books so far.
That's
wow.
fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I brought in another author, local author, Donna Same, who has written a book called Charlie. She's actually written a ton of books. She's amazing. She's sort of my mentor as well. But she wrote a book, Charlie, which is a real life story about a Irish immigrant in the 1900s who, living in Boston, father couldn't support them anymore, so he went to the Home for Little Wanderers
mm-hmm.
and became, and it's his story up until about the age of 17.
Wow.
And about how he overcame the difficulties of being separated from his family, about having to go into foster care and, you know, how he managed to survive and overcome mm-hmm. a lot of the difficulties.
That's awesome.
So I've brought her books on, and the goal is to bring other authors and books that have messaging that can okay. help.
Now, do you have a website or an email if there's somebody out there listening saying, hey, I've got books, I can help with that?
How yeah, can kids absolutely. Or, so my website is MaggieVanGalen.com.
Okay.
Very easy. And I have a Facebook page, which is Maggie Van Galen /author
yeah.
or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one it is.
Google it.
Google it, exactly.
Awesome. Just in case there's somebody out there going, hey, I got books. I can do this. I can
yeah.
help with this.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, and it's been really fun.
So worthwhile.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I just love the idea that they can take the book with them. That's
yeah.
what I loved about Read Across America. I participated in it in another job that I had, and you'd go into the health clinic and spend and just read to whoever was there, the kids that were there, and they could take the book with them when they left.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, in a homeless shelter or something like that, these kids are a bit traumatized, but sure. they don't have anything that's really theirs. They're
no,
in this
exactly.
sort of very yeah. fluid situation. You know, the parents are dealing with that. It's a lot of fear. And just to have something to hold on to, because that was what the teddy bear initiative was too, I think, with children's with, they give kids like a teddy bear.
Teddy bears.
Yeah.
Teddy bears was out of Marblehead, and
right.
that's exactly what she did.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
So I think that's so cool, because you're giving kids something that
they can hang on
to. It's physically theirs. It's something they can hang on to.
Yeah. We did. It was awesome. So I had these little stickers printed up that just says, this book belongs to, with a line that they can write in then, right? So whenever I donate the books, I give the stickers as well, and I give them on the sheet so they can peel them off, and, you know, it's a whole experience,
yeah.
right?
It's a ritual. It's
yeah.
ritualistic. It's mine. I own it. I took
right.
the sticker.
Got my name on it.
The sticker's
yep.
there. I plopped yep. it where I wanted to plop it.
So I donated some books to the Citizens Inn just before Christmas, and I gave a book to a little girl, and I gave her the sticker, and she said, "What is this?" And I said, "Well, it's a sticker. You put it on the inside of your book, and you write your name on it." And she goes, "But it says this book belongs to." And I said, "Right. This is your book. You can take this with you wherever you go." And she was like, "For real? Are you
Aww.
Totally serious?" And I still get goosebumps
yeah.
when I tell the story, because I was just like, yeah, for real. Like, that's yours to take with you. And she's like, "I don't have to leave it here." And I was like, "No, you get to take it with you wherever you go. You know, wherever
right.
you go in life, it's yours." And she was
yours.
Like, "Oh, that's so awesome.
That'll
Thank
be your
you.
Favorite book forever."
I hope so. I love, there's certain experiences that I've had as an author. I mean, it's such a fun job. To
yeah.
have.
Especially yeah. in kids' books. I mean,
yeah.
what's yeah,
I was
fun
say,
about that?
Kids,
yeah.
like, kids go wild.
Yeah. yeah. It's so much fun. My most fun being an author is going into schools and doing events
oh,
in
God,
schools.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
And I've read to over 4,000 kids. I haven't lost one yet, literally or figuratively. That's my claim
I'd
to fame.
I'd be scared if she did. She's like, "I started this with 10 kids. Where's that
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
Bobby?
I'm down to 8.5.
Where did you go?
No.
Most likely his name would be Kino.
Yes. Kino?
There you go.
So, but yeah, and I've read to all different, you know, sizes of groups, so anywhere from 10 kids in a classroom to 300 kids in an auditorium.
Have you done the Read Across America where they invite people in? And
mm-hmm. I love it.
I've done that too. It's
yeah.
so much fun.
I'm
more nervous than the children are.
I know.
I'm like, hello.
I know. I had a class of fourth graders once, and I was like, yeah, like they're going to care what I read to them. We had a blast. It was so much fun.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Our mayor always, when I was in Medford, the editor in Medford, our mayor always did it, and he always read the same book, and he always read Green Eggs and Ham
mm-hmm.
because it was his favorite book as a child. His parents read it to him. He loved the book. He read it to his kids. I used to say to him, like, "Haven't you memorized this by now?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it's memorized." He goes, "But I just love it." He goes, "I love sitting there. I love getting into it." He's like, "I love watching the kids' faces. It's like
yeah.
my favorite thing in the world to do."
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah,
Dr. Seuss is amazing.
Who doesn't love to see their little faces light up?
Right.
And they're not critical.
And if you can make them laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's why I felt like fourth grade, you're sort of getting into that area.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, you know, they're 10, 11 years old, and they're like, yeah, who cares, whatever.
Whatever.
But they're still kids
they
at
are.
That age.
They're still kids.
Yeah.
They're
still kids, yeah.
And it was just so much fun.
And they're so clever. They're
oh,
such
God.
Sponges. Like, they totally
yeah.
learn. I did a writing session for a group of brownie troops recently. And I said to the brownie troop leader, I said, "Okay, we're going to do some writing exercises." And they were all about second graders. And she was like, "Writing exercises? Oh, good luck with that." You know, thinking, how's this going to go? And so I read a part of a sentence. And then I said, "Okay, so you just have to finish the sentence and then keep writing. And for 5 minutes, and I'm going to time you. There's no right or wrong. There's no grammar. There's, you know, no spelling.
Just write.
Just write whatever comes to your mind." And off they went. And it was dead silent in the room. And the leader looked at me and she said, "Wow, I didn't think that was going to work." And the stories they came up with was amazing.
Yeah, they're
you
hilarious.
Know? Some of them like wrote lists. Some of them wrote in prose. Some of them wrote like this whole story. And then the next thing I had them, yeah, the next thing I had them do was I read a sentence and I said, "I want you to draw a picture of your story." And they did. And they had these great you know, and it's just awesome.
It's just fun.
It's awesome to see their little minds at work and to
creative. Be creative.
Yeah.
They have no limit to their imagination. No. Right. Like as adults, you're like, oh, maybe I could do that or not. But kids don't really have a limit. No. I had a teacher when I was growing up who this is one of my favorite things that she did for English class. She didn't do it often. It was like a treat. And she would have you write she would have you just be like, okay, start writing. You'd start writing your little story, whatever you were writing, and then she would say, stop. And now give it to the next person on your right. So you'd pass it to the person on your right.
Oh, fun.
And what they would do is they would fold it over, right? And they would be like, okay, you have to leave the last line, the last sentence visible. So that's all you could see was the last sentence when the person got it. And you're like, what is this? So then you had to start from that point and you would write.
Oh my
goodness. And it's like 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later.
That is cool. I'm going to take that to my next class.
Yeah, totally.
You would fold it over and all you leave is again the last line.
I want to do that in here.
And so at the end, when you go through the entire class, after she went through the entire class, you would go back to the original person. The original person would write the last whatever and then sign it, whatever. And then you would open them up
and read them.
And of course, they're like all accordioned. Yeah. But then you would read them. And they were some of the funniest things I've ever remember as a kid doing it. But
that is cool.
It would get your creative spark going. It would be fun, and it was a fun exercise, and the kids would love it, and we loved it.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, my writer's group that I belong to, before we start critiquing each other's works, we always start with a writer's prompt, and I'm going to take that. And
that would be
I'm
going to
have us do that next time. That's awesome.
Because you just fold it. You just fold it so the last line is visible.
Yeah.
You read three words going, the purple octopus, what? What is this? Okay.
Okay, let's take it from there.
Let's take it from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because you don't remember a lot of things, you know, stuff like that. But I always remembered that because as a burgeoning writer, I was like, this is amazing. This woman gets it.
Yeah.
She gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you totally let your creative juices flow when you can't see the buildup. You have to...
Because not every kid is... You know, they might just sit there and be like, I can't do this, or what am I? And then that just gives them a little writing prompt.
Yeah.
So they just
helps them along.
Yeah.
So Maggie, what about your kids now? What are they into? Are they readers?
So my oldest son, Luke, who's 16, is still a reader. He's not with modern technology and homework and everything,
everything else.
He's not as avid a reader, he won't just go pick up a book. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, we cleaned out the bookshelves the other day, and he's like, oh, I haven't read this book in a while. And Tom Clancy started making some younger books for middle-aged readers.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
He was like, oh, I haven't read this one. And he sat down, and I was like, Luke, where are you? And he was like, I'm almost done. And literally 300 pages later.
That's great.
Yeah. And then my younger son, Dylan, is not as avid a reader. But once he gets into something that he's reading, he'll continue to read it, or if it's something of interest. So I laugh at him because I have, as a newspaper writer, it's funny that I've sort of given up listening to the news and watching it on TV because to me it's all bad news.
Yeah, we've all reached that point.
So, but he reads the news every day on his phone. So he'll come to me and he'll be like, did you know, blah, 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 there's this huge fire in California? Or did you know? I'm like, no, please tell me. Tell me some good news too. I don't want to know all the bad news. So,
so that's great. He's reading.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's
so
very cool.
Yeah. So, they're good. They're both my youngest will be in Georgetown High School next year, and Luke is going to be a junior next year. Wow. So, there's a scary future ahead of me.
I know.
It involves driving in college and
so many exciting things coming up.
I know. And we got a new puppy.
Puppy.
Yeah, he's so
read
cute.
Him the books now.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
He'll sit still long
he'll
enough.
He'll chew on
there
them.
You go.
Yeah.
He will chew on them. So we always ask. So you're a writer of children's book.
Yes.
But we always ask our guests. What is on your nightstand?
What are you reading?
Are you reading children's books or are you reading anything else?
So my favorite genre to read is historical fiction.
Okay.
I absolutely love it. And I love sort of European settings.
I'm like, give us an example of what?
So I was reading the Pillars of the Earth trilogy.
Oh, my mom read those. Yeah, she loved that.
Amazing.
I read the first one. I was like, I can't. I need some time. I need some time before I pick up book two.
They're so good.
They're a commitment, aren't they?
They are, but they're really, really good. And I'm actually reading two books from my writer's group at the moment. So Connie Hambly is a mystery suspense thriller writer, and she's a great writer. So I'm reading her, it's called the Charity Trilogy, and it's sort of horse racing, Irish IRA.
Cool. That's interesting.
Stuff. Yeah, it's really good. And then another friend of mine just wrote a book that's a nonfiction book about sort of the mental areas around weight loss.
Yeah. Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel the pressure? When they ask you to read these, do you go, do you want me to read this as your friend or do you want me to read this as your critiquer?
To be honest, usually they ask me how they want me to present it.
Yeah, okay.
I tend to always look at it with an eye of a writer. And I think even if you aren't a writer, I think when you read a book, you know if it's good or not.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, and you know if you like it, you know if it flows well.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I know that I read their books, they've all gone through editing processes and they go, you know, it's a full blown experience. Mm-hmm. So by the time I see it, it's a book.
Sure.
You know, it's not in the beginning stages, apart from my writer's group where we read our material as it's unfolding. I'm honest. You know, I try to be honest with them. I won't, if I don't like it, I won't post it on like Amazon or whatever.
I hate this. We were just talking recently about authors reading their bad reviews. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No.
Don't read it. Delete it. That's
crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I'm fortunate. I haven't had any bad reviews really on Kino and Ernest. I had one review that said that Ernest should have gone and told Kino's parents before he went to go help him. But
time is of the essence.
Exactly.
It's
fair. That's fair. Like, get the parents involved. Not a problem.
It's a romping good read. I love that.
So, yeah, but it's been a ton of fun. And
I bet. They sound like they'd be fun to do.
Yeah. And it's just, I've met so many wonderful people. You know, I've had such great experiences. The kids are amazing. And some of this, I go into the Shoemaker School in Lynn every year. Mm-hmm. And this past year, and we do a little sequence. So the teachers, this is second and third grade. So the teachers read The Banana Tree to them. And then the second grade gets The Diamond Mine. And the third grade gets The New Friend. So they were the first school that heard The New Friend read aloud. Because I published it in the process of, you know, that was the last one I published. So they sort of follow along. So every year when I read the third graders, they're like, oh, we're so excited
to
read this book.
We know who this is.
We know who this is.
But this last spring when I went in, I brought Joanna with me and she did an art class for them. And she had them, again, like I would never have thought of this, talking about folding paper, she had them drawing perspective.
Oh, cool.
In third grade. And it was, I'm not sure how she did it because I was reading in one class and she was doing the other, but she had the paper folded and she did one of the illustrations out of A New Friend with like the perspective of the background. And it was amazing what the kids did.
That's
it was
awesome.
Unbelievable. And then we swapped and the second graders did just as well. And they loved it.
That's
absolutely
cool.
Loved it.
Very cool. So,
creativity. Kids.
Yeah.
There's not enough. School, I think, is just sort of aimed to beat that out of you.
Well, you know, they teach you the test these days, and there's
not enough
room.
I have to admire teachers who do,
I was
you know, invite people like Maggie in. And
there are great teachers that fit it in, that do a lot of
Figure out how to do it.
Yeah, figure out how to do it. And that is really cool.
It takes us. It's cool. A special awesome. Breed to be a teacher. And,
it is.
You know, I give them so much credit.
Yeah. It is not
so
easy,
much
especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
Because they're accountable to so much.
Yeah.
Oh, God, So how neat that not only is Maggie writing these, but she is giving back to
her.
Not only her community, but a wider community of kids.
Very
That's cool. so cool.
Thank you.
So
Thank
where,
you.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just said
so
thank
where
you.
Can we get these?
Where can we find the books? Where can people buy them?
So the books are all available on Amazon.com.
Great.
They're actually available on any of the online stores. So okay. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they're available internationally. And they're available on my website if you go to MaggieVanGalen.com.
Okay.
There's a Shop Now section that takes you to my online bookstore.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
So, and the online bookstore also has the place where you can look at... And the website, too. You can look at class readings, like what I do for the class readings.
Oh, fun. And, okay.
And your project, what you're working on? The
So the Joy of Reading project, yes. That is on my Facebook page. I have my own, like, it has its own life. So it's okay. The Joy of Reading Facebook page.
Okay, and great. We'll put that on our Facebook page,
Yeah, we can
too.
Link to it.
Yeah, that'd perfect. Be awesome. That'd okay. be awesome. Yeah, because I'm constantly looking for charities and donors, obviously, that want to get involved with this. And so I'm hoping it
great project.
Takes
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it is a great project.
Yeah.
We are more than happy to help you out.
Yes, awesome. Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah, and I can send you some more information about it,
terrific.
Too.
Terrific. Okay. So we have had fun with Maggie today.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your books with us.
And your project and your love of literacy and giving back to the kids.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Yes, this has been fun. So, Chris Stevens, mm-hmm. we're done for another session.
We are.
They go by so fast.
I know, they do.
We bring the authors in. We're like, oh, wow. Like, it's like half an hour later and we're like, my goodness. It's so much fun.
It's good. No, we do appreciate your time. We appreciate your time, and we appreciate you listening. So thank you for joining us here on Book Nation.
Check out our Facebook page, and check out our Twitter account, and at Book Nation Cast, CAST.
Yes.
So we're not the cast of Book Nation. We are just Book Nation Podcast, but Book Nation Cast.
There you go.
Twitter.
Again, I'm Chris Stevens.
I'm Nell Coakley.
Keep reading.
Keep reading.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.